Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's Valentine's Day, which is as good a time as any to catch a new movie. So I'm looking at films about unusual relationships. There's a husband and wife rejuvenating their marriage at an alpine ski lodge, a divorced master chef dating the restaurant's manager, and a supersonic electric blue hedgehog in a bromance with a traffic cop. Downhill, directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash. Pete and Billy, played by Will Ferrell and Julie Louis-Dreyfus, are a happily married couple. He's a workaholic and a bit of a chowderhead, while she's a successful, if opinionated, lawyer. Billy is worried about her husband. He spends more time texting than playing with her two sons, and he hasn't been the same since his own father died last summer. So when Pete books a family vacation at a ski chalet in the Austrian Alps and handles all the arrangements, they're all looking forward to a fun, quiet time to heal all their inner wounds. When they arrive, they're greeted by an alpine sexpot named Charlotte, hilariously played by Miranda Otto. She's the Aunt Hilda on the new Sabrina series, who assures them nudity is encouraged and enforced. Turns out the family lodge that they didn't book at is just across the way. They're in the swingers' chalet. Then Pete secretly invites his younger roommate Zach and his girlfriend Rosie, played by Zoe Zhao and Zach Woods, to join them. But things really get bad when a planned avalanche crashes near the chalet, sending patrons on an outdoor patio running for their lives in the sudden whiteout. Turns out Billy, the mom, protected the kids from what they thought was their final moments, and Pete, the family patriarch, he grabbed his smartphone and ran inside, leaving his family to die. No one did die, of course. It was just a planned avalanche, but now Billy and the kids feel abandoned by their father, and they're in at the time of a dangerous crisis. Will Pete ever regain Billy's trust or his kids' respect? Or will his marriage, his family, and his self-confidence damaged beyond repair? Downhill is a mildly funny dramatic comedy about the fall from power of the proverbial middle-class white American male. It's also an American remake of the brilliant Swedish original film called Force Majeure, which I really liked. But this one is less visually attractive, less biting, bitter, ironic than the original one. It trades subtlety for the broad strokes of European stereotypes. Odd sex seems to be replaced by straightforward moral lessons. Okay, Louis-Dreyfus is great as Billy, conveying all her hurt and suspicion through a single squint or pursed lip. Ferrell, though, is less successful, sort of a clueless Joe Biden type, seemingly unaware of his imminent downfall. Downhill is okay, but not great. Sonic the Hedgehog, directed by Jeff Fowler. Sonic is an electric blue hedgehog who lives in a cave near Green Hills, Montana, furnished with a beanbag chair and a ping pong table. Sonic looks like a plush toy with spaghetti legs, a button nose, and bright red sneakers. But he can run faster than anything else on Earth. He's so fast, he can play ping pong with himself. He's so fast, he can play baseball where he covers all the bases, including the pitcher and the batter and the catcher all at once, pitching a fastball and hitting it from home plate. And when he's truly in danger, he rolls up into this blue ball that can generate mammoth amounts of electricity. And he carries a bag of golden rings that are magic portals that can instantly take him anywhere in the universe, real or imagined. Sonic is a social animal who speaks perfect English. He's voiced by actor Ben Schwartz, and would love to make friends, but the problem is he's forced to remain hidden. Because if anyone ever finds him or discovers his secret powers, he would be in great danger. But when he accidentally triggers an interstate blackout, the DC generals are afraid it's an enemy attack. So they send out the expert, an expert to solve the problem and captured this so-called terrorist. The expert in this case is Dr. Robotnik, played by Jim Carrey, a brash and arrogant genius with multiple PhDs and a curly mustache. He hates everyone but himself and with a superiority complex. He plans to find the source and dissect it. Luckily, Sonic is taken under the wing of the local speed trap cop named Tom, played by James Marsden. Although he was dubious at first, eventually Tom takes to the hedgehog and the two become fast friends. They set off on a road trip to San Francisco to recover the lost gold keys, save the world, and avoid Robotnik. But who will triumph? The evil Dr. Robotnik or the fast little hedgehog and his buddies? Sonic the Hedgehog is a kids' movie based on a Sega video game. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, any movies based on video games are the worst possible genre, a new genre to make a movie on. But you know what? I actually enjoy this one. It's silly, of course, but the special effects are terrific. Like the scenes that are shot from Sonic's point of view. So like there's a bar fight in a roadhouse with redneck bikers. Everything is frozen because he moves so fast. He can do whatever he wants to them. This spiny mammal can run rampant while everyone else is more or less frozen in midair. So it's a lot of fun to watch. Okay, there's relentless product placement, which I hate. And the whole movie is practically an ad for spin-off merchandise. But still, Jim Carrey is fantastic. He's perfect as the villain and very, very funny. So if you see it, and if you like this kind of movie, watch it until the credits roll, because there's always a little trick ending in movies like this. Nose to Tail, written and directed by Jesse Zigelstein. Dan, played by Aaron Abrams, is an old school master chef at a restaurant in downtown Toronto. He oversees every dish and inspects each outsourced vegetable, the smell, the taste, the aroma that arrives every morning. And if anyone in the kitchen steps out of line, he lashes out like a boot camp sergeant. Dan starts his day with a makeshift breakfast of single malt whiskey and prescription drugs. The restaurant is everything to him. He depends on Chloe, played by Lara Jean Chorostecki, at the front of house, Keith, his chef de cuisine, played by Brandon McKnight, in the kitchen, and his sommelier to keep the wine cellar well-stocked. Problem is, his world is collapsing all around him. He's 4 months overdue for the rent, and the landlord's cracking down. Online blogs are dissing his abrasive manners. Goddamn millennials. Keith is heading for greener pastures. He's quitting, and his bills, the bills for the restaurant, are piling up. Dan stood up Chloe, who's both his manager and his on-again, off-again girlfriend, and he's yelled at almost all of his staff, burning bridges all around it. Then there's his ex-wife and son who shows up with an unexpected piece of news. And a popular new food truck parks right across the street. Everything is falling apart. It's like the perfect storm of terribleness. So it all depends that night on a high school friend of Dan's who's a millionaire coming for dinner that night. Will he invest in the business or will the restaurant, like the Heritage Pig he trims from nose to tail on camera, go belly up? Okay, this isn't the first movie about tense, egotistical chefs. Think of Bradley Cooper in Burnt and Jon Favreau in Chef, to name just two. But Nose to Tail has a level of intensity and density, the whole movie takes place over one day, that, in my mind, beats those other two hands down. And Aaron Abrams seriously gives a tour de force performance, keeping it close to the boiling point till the bitter end. I saw him in The Go-Getters, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? But now in this one, he's really good. Yeah, so I think this is worth seeing. Downhill, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Nose to Tail all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.